This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social Series 3, Episode 41. Brighton have just been beaten 5-1 by prime Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich, Man United, Chelsea put together. And, oh no, wait, it's just Everton Football Club. And we got absolutely battered by Everton Football Club. We've been on the end of a few laughs on our match preview we done. I wasn't there, but I think, I don't know, you, Maz and Ryan might...
I haven't looked, and I'm actually sort of glad.
No, yeah. There are comments being like, oh, you underestimated us, all that sort of stuff.
No. Age well. Hang about. I'm talking for myself here. I don't know about Ryan, but I said it'll be a tie. No, I predicted us to win, of course. Like, look...
Yeah, I said we were 3-0, so...
Let's be real, look. It's let's really be right. Frank about it. Before the game, no one could have predicted what happened yesterday. No one. Unless you're... You know, some kind of mystic Meg. I don't think anyone could have predicted what happened yesterday.
I genuinely don't think anyone did, no.
Yeah. So, I don't see how people are going to attack us for having a view of Brighton will win. Fair enough, if we'd gone full, like, we're going to batter them, we're going to smash them. I don't think we did that. Unless I've got my biased sort of glasses on. I don't think we ever said we're going to batter them. I said it would be a really tough game. Yeah. And, well, yeah, it turned out to be a very tough game because we got absolutely battered. So
The only thing I could think they got annoyed at, which is, but to be fair, is still true, is... Ryan, when you were saying how they're obviously like a really poorly run football club, which they are, you still can't argue that. It's just they still managed to batter us.
Yeah, it's funny because my take on Everton Football Club is via fans of Everton Football Club. So, thanks to the, fans that we've got from the stuff that we do, that's... But, you know, look, at the end of the day, as Maz says, it's a result that you cannot predict. And I take my hat off to Everton fans giving it back. I'd have done the same, right? I say this every single time. I'd do exactly the same. So if I watched that and I saw an Everton fan saying that Brighton are nothing, you know, they're a nothing team, whatever that, you know, teams like Brighton, small club, and then we went and smashed you 6-0, I'd be saying, look, that's hilarious. And I'd do exactly the same. So look, fair play. I'd have done the same. And it is what it is. Football banter. Obviously, if it goes too far, I haven't seen anything that has, so I can't really say that. So it's what it is. We move on.
So we're back. Ryan just said something, I'm pretty sure. And then whilst we were off air, Jack was telling us what he had for dinner. He said he had a curry and then realised he had fajitas instead in a matter of like a couple of seconds.
It was spicy.
So,
it was really
No matter
spicy.
What it was spicy and there's probably chicken. And
such a difference. People could... let's just say the other podcast host could hear me breathing quite heavily.
That's why we stopped.
So I wanted to change my audio because of I think
oh,
I was getting
I'm actually crying.
Apologies for that.
Yeah, it's fine. Jack, we haven't heard your opinion. Like straight away from the game, we conceded 34 seconds. I think it was.
Yeah, that was.
Did
that
you
was
think?
Much.
Did you expect it to then become a bit of like an embarrassing scoreline?
I got some bad feeling when they swapped ends.
Soon as yes, the game.
I agree with you. I agree
as soon
with
as,
you.
As soon as they did the swap, I thought, oh, something's not right
we're
here.
We're finished.
Yeah. There's something in the air. And then it just seemed to just sort of degenerate from there, really. I was quite... I'd had a few to drink and the 5:30 kickoff.
And when holiday. You, it just was a bit of a sensory overload to concede within there.
That just sobered up instantly.
Yeah, just sobered up instantly, going from like, oh yeah, great, this is going to be a good day, to oh shit. I think we just started really poorly. Like Mitoma gave away the ball, and that was that. It was I mean, he was the one player who had a bit of a stinker. Like, not to look too much into
Matoma's finish. That's the pod title, isn't it, boys?
Yeah, and it's all. We'll, and, yeah, and, it's and I'm sure that's definitely not the case.
No, of course.
But yeah, I think it just they did a job on us, like Burnley did.
Yeah, that's the thing. So Sean Dyche's record is insane. I think the last six times he's played at the Amex, let me rattle it off my dome. It was like, I think it was 3-0, and then 1-1, 1-0, 3-1, 3-0, and then 5-1 or something like that. Something similar to that. So he absolutely loves playing at the Amex. And he was a weird one. Like, going into the game, you just thought everything screams Brighton win. But the way Everton are playing, the way we've been playing, you think, surely we're going to score loads of goals. Surely Everton are going to fail to score any. But then at the back of my mind, I was like, could this be that banana skin? I think a few fans did also feel that as well. So it was, in a weird way, I wasn't like reacting every time the ball went in. I was a bit like, I kind of didn't see this coming, because no one saw a 5-1 loss coming, but I just felt like it was going to be a banana skin. I don't know about you, Maz.
Yeah, look, so...
Well, maybe not from the match preview, obviously.
Exactly. No, yeah, like Jack said, I think the shock of 34 seconds in, or 37 seconds in, whatever it was, to concede, I was just like, what the hell is going on? And then it didn't really get better, if that makes sense. As in, you know, like when you see signs of, oh, you know, we can get back into this. And of course, there was a few times, because I was right by... the left hat, so the west, I was in the west stand lower, and obviously on Matoma's side for the first half. Yeah, and I could, like, he, at first, with Patterson, I thought, do you know what? He could have Patterson here, mate, potentially. And then, as the game grew, Patterson got better, and fair play to him, he kept Matoma quiet, he was getting stuck into him. I think that's what really put Matoma off, and I think Matoma, for me, is, if you can tell, fatigue's really, you know, taking a big part into why he's maybe not performing recently. But yeah, I thought Patterson just kept him out, and I thought the... It wasn't particularly Gay and Garner. I thought it was more so Iwobi, McNeil, and who's the attacking midfielder? Remind me.
Garner.
Oh, no, Decore, sorry. Oh, yeah, Decore, yeah. So for me, it was those three that really, like, every time they hit us on a counter, they just looked like they were going to score. Every time in that first half, which they pretty much did, to be fair. And so that attacking trio, for me, just ran the game like early on. And they just cut us apart every time going back. For Webster was poor, obviously got dragged at half time. And yeah, mate, it just from that first goal, it just sort of didn't look like we
Dunk
were
got spun,
improve.
Didn't he? Within literally before that first goal, you think he just stuck a leg out. It just looked a bit lazy. It just looked, it was a very, very poor decision. It seems, obviously, it's easy for me to say as a person watching it, but I just thought, well, that was just really poor
defending. it was just too easy. I think just to sum it all up, it was everything about their goals were just too easy. It's like we literally went, right, there you go, run through, just you know, have a go.
But
you three,
it happened so many times though, and that's leading me on to my next question, Ryan. This is one for you probably. De Zerbi was getting a bit of stick online, I think even from some pundits, because the same thing was happening over and over and over again. It was like every counter attack looked dangerous, looked like we were going to concede. But nothing changed tactically from De Zerbi, just kind of until half time, obviously, when it was, 3-0 by then. Was it too late? Or do you think that was a poor decision from him to not change anything and just stick with what was going wrong constantly?
Yeah, I don't want to dig out, you know, the man that's literally saved us this season from becoming potentially, you know, really down there.
You could say when it's a mistake or not, though.
Yeah, of course. And I think, he made a mistake. I think the mistakes happened before the game. I think we underestimated them, if I'm honest with you. I think the 11 was wrong. I know I'm a big Gilmore fan. Everyone knows I'm a big Gilmore fan. But I did think it was a surprise to see him dropped. And I think you saw the big gap when he was. I think that the right side was being overrun every single time. And, you know, you feel for Kunda in them moments, to be honest. And Gross as well was being done for pace, as he would be. And I think we lost so much in midfield putting Gross out there. Obviously, Caicedo did a job out there, but that was when Gilmore was in. And I think he's got a bit more legs than Gross. And I think that when you're coming up against teams like Everton, you know, you've got legs and they're up for it. And they're, you know, what they do is old school football, but also some beautiful football, to be fair, in the first half. Sean Dyche was playing some nice football. Don't take anything away from that. But Yeah, those sort of moments there where there was nothing to stop these counter attacks. We were putting so many forward with no one holding it, and it was just leaving Dunk in the open. It was leaving Webster in the open. Gross was nowhere to be seen after time, and Purvis, you can't really bank on just three of them getting back up, you know, when they're so high up the pitch. I think we put eight forward, and we didn't have anyone back at times, apart from Duncan Webster, and that's when we got spun. And, yeah, you know, it comes from mistakes, yes, but I think that it comes from it's errors from De Zerbi, and he'll be the first to admit it, of course.
It's just weird, like, because we played like this all season, as it's saying that it's come in like the 36th game of the Premier League season, or even more so. Obviously, we play some cup games as well. It's just mad that we've only just been kind of caught out. I feel like, how has no other team maybe done this to us yet? Yeah, I guess at Forest as well. But yeah, just these counter attacks were relentless. And I had to remember the definition, but the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And it felt like that in the first half. Just thinking, why are you not changing? Why are you not making any changes? Did you think that, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he got the team lineup wrong. I mean, I'm not a professional manager, but I also thought he got the lineup wrong against.
You go to more games than most football managers in a season.
Yeah, I'm sure I do. I thought he got the team lineup wrong against Wolves, though. And how wrong was I on that one?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, these sort of things happen. I think while you talk about Gilmore getting dropped, I think with the amount of games that we've got coming up, like the Premier League have seriously done us dirty to give us, what, six games in a month, which no other team's going to have to deal with in this final end. You've got to be quite clever with who you drop at certain points.
Yeah, that's fair.
And because you could see the fitness last night was really low. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as good as Gross is, and he's an absolute engine, he was looking like he was on his last legs last night.
Yeah.
Especially for that Dwight McNeil goal right at the end, where he was, you know, almost did a full circle round and came back again, did another circle.
Even Solly pulled up his hammy after 20 minutes of being on the pitch or whatever it was.
So that's, I understand probably why he made some of the decisions to drop certain players. I just thought nobody really turned up. You know, as much as we complain he got the lineup wrong, that worked against Wolves and arguably Everton, and this is not meant to be disrespectful, but have been a worse team than Wolves this season as a whole. So you would think that'd work again. The only thing I thought, maybe with the pace that they have, maybe not having Gross at right back was a recipe for disaster, because Sean Dyche's teams attack with pace. And if you remember the last time we played Everton down at the Amex, Gross played left back and got absolutely murdered by Damari Gray, if you remember correctly.
That was it.
I can't remember what season that was now, but
last year.
Yeah, so I think he got the lineup wrong, and maybe he could have made that quadruple sub like after the second goal. That might have seemed absolutely ridiculous. And whether he was trying to ease Ferguson back in with only a 45 minutes rather than, you know, an hour or something, it could definitely be different. But to be honest, I think he just got it wrong, and he'll probably be the first one to admit that. And I think a lot of the players didn't turn up, though, as well, at the same time.
Like, no, exactly. He also didn't turn up for his post-match interview, did he?
yeah, I know, for ages.
Players in. That second goal, I can't remember what minute it was. It might have been like the 12th minute or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, when Dwight McNeil was breaking down the left, and because I was working for it, so I had to watch it on the TV. I was literally seeing Decore run down the right hand side. I'm sure probably all of you in the stadium were as well. You're thinking he's so free, and then the ball goes over to him, and you're thinking, oh, he's about to make it. He makes it.
We just didn't fancy marking him.
Jason Steele have saved it? Because we're going to talk about the goalkeeper situation, which is maybe harsh as it is talking about it, because I know what Jason Steele has been through in the past with Sunderland, that sort of stuff. But I think we will have to talk about some of the shots that he faced. And yes, he's made some decent saves. But I think for the third goal, the positioning was very questionable. Yeah. And maybe I'm being super critical, Maz, but the second goal, you feel like it wasn't exactly tucked away into like the corner or close to the post. It looked like it was a lot closer to him to get an arm on it. Yeah. I don't know if I'm
volley,
being super harsh.
It was
it's a great volley, of course. Great finish.
It was
a fantastic strike.
Yeah, fantastic finish. Like the way he sort of lifted his leg up that high to even connect with it, let alone, you know, put it away nearly top bins. But I don't know. I, th-
I don't know. It's a bit harsh on Steele. Look, when it comes to the goalkeeper debate, you could, it's literally like a flip of the coin, right? Like, they've all got their pros and their cons. And in the long run, I think I do want Sanchez back. I think he is overall the better goalkeeper, in my humble opinion. However, can you drop Steele? Obviously, after this game, you probably could, because that might seem fair. But up to that, had he really done anything wrong? You know, he obviously got that penalty save against Forest, but then had a few questionable, you know, moments. Mm. And, you know, he's had questionable moments throughout the season, as has Sanchez. So, do you know what I mean? It's like, out the two, it's literally a flip of the coin for me, personally. And I think it's harsh to say that, should he have saved that Decore? I think defensively, we were shambles. Like, to let Decore be free on his own in the box, I think that's where you got to look at first, rather than, do you look at Steele as the goalkeeper, I think, personally.
That's true. I guess, when I've scrutinised Leeds before, and obviously our friend of the show, Josh Akers, has more said, like, it's the defence that the issue, like the defence of letting the keeper down. And I guess you could probably say that with this game, rather than pointing the finger at the goalkeeper.
I think it's extremely harsh to say the second goal was savable. I think, when Decore's free on his own in the six-yard box with a free volley, like, what's Steele meant to do there? Like, unless he's Superman.
I just thought maybe I'd be super critical, but I just thought it was a bit closer to him rather than a super finish. Like, the connection was great. But obviously the third one, that was one where it was a bit questionable. Ryan, you leaning back, trying not to scrutinise a goalkeeper, because like what happened with Sanchez a couple of years ago. But
go for it.
What are your thoughts when you saw that one happen?
Yeah, it's an own goal, isn't it? You can't plaster that one over. I think that, it's hard, because putting this on Steele would be wrong. And I think that when the whole team's been starting in probably the worst I've seen them in, I don't even know, last season when we played Burnley, probably, we weren't that bad at Forest, not that bad. That was the worst I've seen the team play in a long time. I didn't recognise, you don't recognise that team. It's not the team that you know. And I think that because we were that bad in that first half, I'm not counting second, because I actually thought second we played all right. But first half, we were so bad that to put it down to just Steele should have saved that. We're rattled. We were absolutely rattled. From back to front, we were rattled. We had Undav and Welbeck making nothing up front. They're giving the ball away left, right and centre. We had Matoma giving the ball away. We had Buonanotte pretty much invisible. We had Gross, not keeping up with anybody. We had McAllister, who actually had a good second half. But again, in the first, probably was too weak, was getting overrun. How many times have we been able to say that this season? Caicedo was missing challenges. We had Dunk and Webster getting caught out. We had Estupiñán getting caught out. And then we have Steele, who makes a mistake. So I think that to look through the whole 11, everyone was making mistakes from back to front. So say that, that it's on Steele, look, his head's gone. It's a bad one. It's come off the back of him. It's gone into his own net. You can't hide it. It's a bad one. But look, the way the game went, it's Man United against Liverpool 7-0. It's them sort of games, which is such a weird one. And I hope it doesn't knock anyone's confidence, because it can. But we'll see.
Mm. Yeah.
These games have been happening everywhere this season. I don't know what it is this season.
Yeah,
there's been freak games all over the place. I'm sure I saw an Athletics article about it, something like that, where essentially they said, Man United losing 7-0 and I'm trying to think of some other results, like a couple of Chelsea results, stuff like that. It seems to be when teams lose, they lose to the extremes. Even like Wolves, for example. They lost 6-0. That doesn't normally happen. Tottenham losing 6-1 to Newcastle. Yeah. These sort of extremes seem to be happening. And I don't know what it is. I think it's been a funny
fixture
old
fixture congestion,
season, isn't it, really?
I think is what you would put it down to, maybe.
Yeah.
Lack of fitness in the Premier League, I think. Everyone's playing so many games that, these players... I'm not giving ultimate protection to players, because I think they should be protected in the sense of this, but then they should also be rightly and they don't get called out for the amount of cheating that goes on. My God, that's a whole nother conversation that the players need to take accountability for. But when it comes to fixture congestion, you've got to give respect to them, because they're playing three games a week, and De Zerbi said it, we're not used to this. And one thing I will actually agree with De Zerbi on was he said about the mentality, and he said that he puts this down to the mentality of the team. We're not ready to play three games a week, and you have to be. And I actually do agree with him. I think that I do agree with the fact that there shouldn't be a situation where a team's chasing top four for the first time in their history, or chasing top six for the first time in their history, and teams want it more than them. That shouldn't be the case. There's a case of we're getting overrun and we're unfit and we haven't got enough of players to fill gaps. But to say that they wanted it more, or they did that, they wanted this more. Forest wanted it more. Everton wanted it more. To say that, it's hard to hear when you're a team that should be playing higher up and could be even in the top four spots if it were for a few things to go their way. But that's one thing I did agree with De Zerbi on. That's for sure.
I also like the fact that there was rumours that he kept him in the changing room for about 40 minutes after full time.
Like Football Manager, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just reminded me of the meme of Warnock when he goes, "You got to die to get 3 points." I just imagine him just in the changing room, just absolutely.
I bet he had a video presentation ready.
Like a Bielsa special. A PowerPoint presentation. But no, I think that just shows, like, if it is true, obviously, I think it was pretty much true, because obviously he never came out to do his media duties. And it's just, I quite like that, because I think it shows that, how, like, for example, and I know, footballers are allowed to have a social life. I get that 100%. I'm not saying they can't, but like, there was a clip that came out today from the Millwall side. I don't know if you saw that, when they all went karaoke after obviously losing to Blackburn and not making the playoffs. Like, I get that they, they've got a personal life and they can do what they want. I don't, but it's the optics. So for me, it's like, if you're the fans of Millwall, you just lost. All you have to do is win the game and you're in the playoffs. And the lads have gone out and had a massive night out and, don't.
After look being 3-1 up at half time or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. Was it 3-1 up? So imagine like the optics of then, like, let's say, for example, De Zerbi coming out like straight away being like, "Oh yeah, do you know what? How Potter would have done back in the day. Oh, don't worry, lads. We'll be fine. We'll be fine next game. We'll be all
take
good.
Like,
whatever." Yeah, take the positives, exactly. And now he's gone like made a bit of a statement. Like, "Lads, stay in the change of room. I'm going to give it to you how it is. Give it to you straight. It just shows that, for me personally, De Zerbi's mentality of how he's a winner and he hates losing.
Fans,
and I think that's exactly. We didn't make enough noise. Apparently,
I said that as well. I remember thinking, as soon as it finished, I thought, "Oh, Potter would have said we played really well second half. Take the positives from that," or something like that. So, it's a different mentality, isn't it? It's very good to see it from that man.
I wish we had the cameras in the changing room, though. I really wish like we did for Man United. Can you imagine? If anyone's seen who's that Mike Bassett, England manager? Has anyone seen that? When he's going, "It's a fucking disgrace. It's a fucking..." And he's swearing constantly. I just feel like that would have been a bit of a deserving.
And also his comments as well about Arsenal as well. How we're going to have a much improved side, or you're going to see a much improved performance against Arsenal. Again, just to come out and say that, I think it's great to hear from your manager, especially after such a heavy loss. I know he's not going to come out and say, we're going to be worse or whatever, but just him coming out and saying, "Oh, look, like, you're going to get a reaction from us against Arsenal." I think that's really, against the second in the table.
That's Chris Hughton's line, wasn't it? Really looking for a reaction every single week. We get beaten, really looking for a reaction every time.
He was apparently quite aggressive.
Was it?
I could believe that.
I know somebody who was a media intern at Rotherham United. Here we go, story time here. And we lost 2-0 to Rotherham. And they could hear shooting, shouting at the players through like three walls or something like that. So calm, he was quite an angry guy, to be honest.
I could believe that.
That's surprising.
But one thing I would say actually about De Zerbi, I don't think he would just be in there shouting, scolding them for 40 minutes. I'd imagine it was a bit of a mixture. Everyone knows it. If you know anything about motivation or theories, motivation theories, you would know that just shouting at somebody for 40 minutes isn't going to work. You have to simply, at some point, put an arm around them as well. And I think De Zerbi's smart enough of a guy to know that. And I don't think it would have been a case of he's in there giving him full on hairdryer treatment. And to be honest with you, I actually think it's one of them moments where we all look back on and be kind of, I think it will be one of them. Maybe I'm going to be a little bit psycho in a bad moment here, but I think that it's a big moment. I think that it'll be a big moment for the club, but for the players, for the fans, for the manager as well. It's a big defeat on De Zerbi's CV, but equally it's big on the players, how we've been playing so many games. It's a wake-up call for them in that sense. But also for the fans, it's a real wake-up call for the fans, because, we're getting very, perhaps a bit carried away. Maybe not carried away, but we were enjoying a good moment, and I think we should have been. I think, but also...
Yeah, I think we had every right to go into that game to...
Absolutely. And I think it's good because it keeps us, it makes us know that we're not there yet. And there's still a long way to go till we're there. Wherever there is, we're not there. So I think that it's quite nice to almost be humbled in a way. It's good to have a nail on the head. And I think as well, you know, that feeling of, I don't know, wake up call, I think is weirdly refreshing. It's really, really odd now, but I think you know what I mean in 3 months' time.
Mm. Is it a glimpse into next season, if we do get Conference League or even Europa League, of course, that we will be having we'll be having these months where we're playing a game on Sunday, we're playing a game on Thursday, playing a game on Saturday or Sunday, and then so on. Like in a month, we might play 5 games or 6 games, like we have this month, and it's been quite telling. You know, we lost to Forest, in April, and then we lost to Everton, like 2 shock defeats because the players looked tired. Is that something that we got to be potentially worried about?
I think we're doing something about it though. Like as much as there's been a lot of calls for us to get better depth, which we definitely need. I think a lot of people at the moment, we can't really do anything about that. We're not in a transfer window, so yeah. We can't.
We've already signed 2 players, to be fair, haven't we?
But you can see that we're making clear.
We have Pedro at half time. Great timing.
He was having a great time.
Jesus Christ.
3-0 down at the Amex. Cheers.
Get me back to Watford.
Yeah, exactly. That is a club in serious chaos, to be fair. But I think
it probably seems alright compared to Watford still, even though we're 3-0 down at half time.
But I think we're making the move to build up better squad. I think a lot of players, I don't think we'll see, you know, I don't know how many players off the top of my head we've got on loan at the moment, but it must be in the high 20s. I think a lot of those players will probably stick around next season, maybe as depth. I mean, we've got some quite versatile players out on loan, like Karbovnik, who's at Dusseldorf. You know, he's a fullback who can play left-back, right-back, and
something. Alzate would be a welcomed addition.
Yeah, Alzate. Well. I think maybe that would be a player who'd be really
Moda,
good.
Moda, Adingra.
Yeah, Moda, Adingra. Even Zakiri, he's not had a bad season at Basel.
Yeah.
I might have to bring back the old Enter Zakiri Twitter.
He
comes back. But yeah, I think we're going the right way about looking to get that depth. Mm. And I really like Lamptey. I like him as a bloke. I like him about everything. But I feel like we keep on relying on him as our backup right back or a right back option. And he just can't keep fit. And we're now at this position where we've got no Veltman and we're having to shoehorn central midfielders into the right back role. Like when Gross was out injured, we're even on our fourth choice right back. So we're putting Caicedo in there, who I actually prefer to right back, to be honest.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be against him playing there against Arsenal. But you know, I think we maybe need to look that first day of the transfer window, look at getting another right back in.
Yeah,
because as much as I like Lamptey, we can't rely on him.
Because we're linked with that Ajax right back, aren't we? Drench?
Yeah.
Wrench? Something like that.
There's another one coming out.
Or maybe Adela Fires. Who? Adela Fires there on the bench.
I think with the Fire, it's hard though, isn't it? Because, yeah, putting him into Arsenal, City, Southampton even, you know, it's a big game for us. If Villa away, putting him into a Lions den, I think it's a bit harsh. It's hard, isn't it? Because you want to do the best for the team, but then you think also the long term effect on ruining a young player's confidence is equally suicide.
I do think Veltman's back though.
Yeah,
Back on Sunday. Because someone saw him running around Hove Park.
Oh, that's it then. Exactly.
That's all right. I saw that tweet. I don't know how reliable we can take. I saw on Twitter that he's walking around Hove Park.
Martin Montoya again.
Yeah, Martin Montoya.
That photo of Martin Montoya from a few years ago is so absolutely strange. Vintage.
So unbelievable.
I'm trying to think of because there are so many goals we conceded. What happened in the second half? The first, we made 4 substitutions here. Imagine you take.
Yeah,
over.
Sorry,
that's the first time that's ever happened as well. Little stat with Brighton Hove Albion Football Club. The first time we've ever made a quadruple substitution.
Look at that!
Man,
amazing.
I didn't know that.
This is why he's here.
I love stats like that. So at half time, I don't think there was any other option for him to make wholesale changes. My dog's just going a bit mad in the background. Right. So wholesale changes. And I think that it had to be done. I thought Ferguson was fantastic. I thought March was incredible. Such a shame to see him come off. I was so gutted for him just because he was playing brilliantly. Like he was exactly what Thomas should have been doing in the first half. No sort of, you know,
shots fired at Matoma there. But yeah, I feel like March was brilliant when he came on. And Ciso looked really lively. Brilliant. And I just, yeah, do you know what actually. I loved about, so when we got the lineups came out, I thought, do you know what? I actually like the fact that we got March and Ciso, Ferguson as options to come off the bench. But then 34 seconds in, I thought, do you know what?
We need them.
We need them on the pitch, boys. They're great options off the bench, but we actually need them on the pitch. So, yeah, like when he made those four subs, I was like, brilliant. This is great. You know, it's really good. I thought we dominated possession throughout the game, but in the second half especially. And it was just counter-attacks, wasn't it? Let's be real. Everton was brilliant on the counter. Every time they just looked dangerous on the counter-attack, we dominated possession. And then in the second half, yeah, what's his face? Pickford just turned into prime Gigi Buffon.
Oh, mate,
honestly, that save. Yeah, the one that would have got disallowed in the end from Ferguson. Well, they're both from Ferguson, but the first one, that was an incredible save. I think it would have been ruled out.
Was it?
Yeah, right. I think it was going to get ruled
out. Was it offside? Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was. I'll say it.
The first save was incredible. The second save was fantastic when Ferguson had that left foot shot. That was brilliant. Everyone in the stadium thought it was a goal kick, and I was like, no, he's got a touch to that, which was just incredible. Yeah. I thought Pickford just turned into prime Buffon, which was classic.
It shows why he's England's number one as well.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been a lot of debate about him and Ramsdale. And
yeah, Ramsdale's a fraud, mate.
Well, I don't want to say that, but yeah, kind of. Yeah, I don't rate him at all. So Pickford showed his quality, seriously. Yes. And you look at some of those saves he did make, and I do think the way the game was going, if one of those had gone in, there is every chance we could have clawed it back to a free all or something like that.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, and that's not to... And, you know, if you look at all the four saves that he's made, if he doesn't make those three or four saves, the game ends 5-4. Yeah. So, you know
what? When I thought it wasn't, nothing was going our way, was when, Pickford made, those two or three saves. And then obviously they score their fourth in the 76th minute. But that goal was when I was like, it's not our day. None of our players were really playing well, obviously, in the first half. We had a few good substitutions that came on and proved themselves well. But so when they get that counter-attack, I think March gives the ball away. Caicedo slips over. And I was like, oh, yeah, classic. And then March is about to catch up. He pulls up his hammy. And you think, brilliant. Just think, literally back to back. And you just know at that moment that it's just not your day. And obviously, Dwight McNeil dunk goes flying in. And just
what was
Dwight McNeil, guys past him, takes it around, takes it still.
He's gone.
To be fair, didn't have
that was very Lewis Dunk. You've just diving in like that.
Old Lewis Dunk.
This is the thing, bro. Yeah, this is the thing, Ryan. We're praising him pretty much every week, and then he just does these things just to sort of prove us wrong, which is really frustrating because we know how good he can be, but he has got that moment in him where he does make a terrible decision or, you know, whatever it might be. So, yeah, it's very frustrating.
Mm. And then, obviously, Dwight McNeil does the Ross Barkley celebrating before they've got the balls in the back of the net. Just, we got absolutely embarrassed by them. And also the Everton fans constantly going, woo!
Oh, my God, yeah, Ric Flair,
constantly.
Yeah. Just turned into a bunch of Ric Flairs.
To be fair, that song on record is an absolute banger. Right. I did, before that game...
On record, not on Apple Music or Spotify, on record.
Yeah, on Spotify and stuff. Spirit of the Blues, absolute banger. Serious tune.
Also, I've got to drop some massive information, which I know is going to rattle Ryan's cage here. But after that fourth goal, I actually left because I had to get back to London. So I did not stay until full time. So for everyone who out there who's going to probably be like, oh, you're a fake fan, you left early. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Screw you, Geth. I'm going home.
But generally, like, obviously, my head was gone, obviously. After 3-0, my head was gone, but let alone 4. And then I was like, look, I've got to get back to London, which is about it's like a 4-hour round trip. So I was like, look, I better get away here. But yeah, and I had enough. I was like, look, as soon as I saw Dunkey slide in, I was like, yeah, I'm out. I was like, yeah, you know, the SpongeBob meme when he walks out, I was like, yeah, that's me. I'm out of here.
To be fair though, like probably the shortest queue for the train at full time ever on Monday with everybody gone already.
Got in quick.
You could have strolled onto a train then. But anyway,
yeah, you would have done.
It's probably better to stay until
all 10 of us back in the West Upper. We did clap Mopé onto the pitch. And I thought that was quite nice.
Ryan, because I know there was rumblings online. I didn't hear any of this, but apparently people were booing at half time. I didn't hear any of this.
Was there boos?
Yeah, a couple did.
I didn't boo. I just shouted,
Jack boos.
Jack, no, basically. When you say I didn't boo, you know he booed.
No, to be honest, Jack. It's all right.
I didn't boo.
Maz has already called himself plastic, Jack. Just say. It's all right.
Yeah, I've been honest.
Nah. 100%. I can tell you exactly what I did. I didn't boo him on. I just saw him get his thing off and I shouted, oh, fuck off, at the top of my voice. And then I clapped him on. And actually, to be fair to him, I will give him credit. When they scored the fifth, he went over to celebrate and he didn't celebrate or anything. He just shook Dwight McNeil's hand and walked off. So, you know, as much as everybody thinks he's like got some agenda against the club, which I don't really know where it came from.
Other than the
one moment where he said going to Everton was a step up and like he's just joined a new club. He's obviously going to say that. Yeah, I think he had an issue with Potter, but you know, I think people at the club were quite respectful. I think he knows most of the fans didn't really have a problem except for some absolute morons who like went that bloke who went up to Potter and told him to stop playing Mopé in the street. I'm sure he mentioned once. But
I saw Mopé he high-fived one of the mascots. I think all the Everton players were running out to warm up. I don't know if that was half-time before the game. Everyone walked past him, obviously, as footballers do, but Mopé ran back and high-fived them all, which was nice.
He was chatting to all the players as well in front of us. He was chatting to March. He was chatting to Ferguson. I'm assuming the conversation with Ferguson went well. He was like, so you're the guy who replaced me, right? He's like, I'm the man now, mate.
I'm the guy.
Yeah.
He was good though when he came on Ferguson. That was probably one of the. Let's actually do this. This will be positive. Let's name one positive from the game, and I'll start. And it's probably easy because I've just said it. But yeah, I thought Evan Ferguson looked great when he came on. Just remind you of like the quality striker that we do have. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I thought the quadruple substitution. If it wasn't for two, to be brutally honest, just quite unlucky goals. We would have won the second half. I know that means nothing, but, you know, it means nothing to the result. But if it wasn't for that ridiculous goal where somehow, Caicedo fell over, March pulled up, which was a counter-attack off one of Pickford's wonder saves, we could have easily probably dragged that back to get a goal suddenly after that. It just killed the momentum a bit, so... I thought we were okay in the second half. And as well, if you look at the stats of the whole game, like, you know, as much as I hate talking about XG, we won on XG. We had 23 attempts on target to their five. So
they had 22% possession.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. And they won 5-1.
Yeah. And so, you know, as much as it was a terrible performance, it was a freak performance. I think that. And I think, I don't want to blame Steele, but... I do remember Sanchez having some of these games where they would have three shots on target and he wouldn't save any of those three. And I think that just happened to Steele yesterday. He just had one of those games where everything they hit went in. And that could have easily ended about 6-5, really. And also, it was a weird day of Barclays, wasn't it?
Was it 28 goals? No.
Yeah, 21 goals.
21
goals. Yeah.
Yeah, there's 14 goals from 13 shots from Fulham, Everton and... Forest, I think, which is nuts. Ryan, you're positive, if there was any. Alexis McAllister, I'm leaving him with some.
There's plenty. I mean, I think the second half we were great. I think McAllister was good. I think we stopped them really doing anything. The last goal was just because we had given up, to be honest. I think we were just done. I think we completely wrecked them, really, second half. It was but for Jordan Pickford's great saves and plenty of time wasting that, you know, that the game ticked away from us and I think it was gone. I think, it was one of them where nothing went our way. Credit to us for sticking with it, really, because it was one of them. And I think it's one of them that, you know, like Bournemouth, like Cardiff, you remember them. And I think that, you know, it's nowhere near as bad in terms of what it means for the club at all. But I think that it's good because I'm happy that some fans have had to see it as well, if you know what I mean. Because I think that it's a good leveller for people that perhaps thought otherwise.
Needed to be humbled.
So I think it's good. Not humbled.
Not needed to be humbled.
Because I don't think anyone... No, I don't want our fans to be humbled. But it's perspective.
And I think, it's good to understand as a football club that it's not easy to just become Champions League. And it's a wake up call. Say that.
And we can't win every game. We can't physically do well, that. That is impossible. It's like the Forest game.
We're a short squad like, coming not, up
it's
on
just
three games.
It's not going
it?
To happen, is it?
No. That's relatively unexperienced as well, bear in mind. We've got such a young team, and Ciso was great when he came on, don't get me wrong. But he's 18. You've got Ferguson, who's a great player, but he's 18. Like, they're a very young team. They're not used to these games.
Facundo, he's 17.
Facundo, 17. My God, I didn't realise he was that young. Yeah, he's 18, 17, to be fair. But he's one of those, again, Facundo's actually worth mentioning because, yes, he like a lost dog out there.
Yeah,
but,
you
look at Julio when he first sort of, that first, was it 6 months even, we'd be willing to say, he was very erratic. And we're only saying before the Bournemouth game that he was maybe potentially going to be worth a loan. And then all of a sudden he scores at Bournemouth, has a couple of good games, I think, just before. And you're thinking all of a sudden you've got a different Julio. And now he comes on and he's probably one of our best attackers. And that's in the space of about a month. And I'd say Buonanotte is going to be the same. It's obvious he's got talent, for God's sake. The boy can play, no doubt. But maybe just putting in players like him, inexperienced at the beginning was a risk, and we had to pay the price for it. And I think ultimately that's what cost us. Maybe if you brought on Buonanotte, when it's the second half, and then we haven't just relied on him behind in front of Gross, even should I say, who's let's be honest, not the best right back out there, and he's a great attacker. It's one of them, isn't it? It's one of them. Buonanotte's pretty much out of position anyway. So, it's hard to pinpoint anybody.
Because Julio had that game where he came on and came off again. Was it against Villa? I think Lallana came off after 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I think you're right. And then Julio played till 55 minutes.
It was.
So, he's had his poor games, and it's all about building those players up. And that was another poor game, Villa. I remember that was a weird game, wasn't it?
Well, it's because we only played 30 minutes of actual football because they were born.
Martinez time wasted so much that game.
You've had time to think.
I've had a lot of time to think, to be fair, everyone's taken all the good points. Everyone's covered pretty much everything.
I've got another one if you did one.
Oh, no. Like, well, just to sort of. Elaborate on one of the points. Actually, I think Ryan made it about sort of not perspective, I suppose, or of fans. But I think it's actually good because it sort of helps us now to know that going into next season, if we do get European football, which we're looking likely we could, especially Conference League, we're looking likely. We're going to be having to play. Was it Thursdays, Saturdays? Tuesday, do you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a lot of fixtures in and amongst it. And I think this is a key learning of like how to rotate a squad. And I think it proves to Bloom that he does need to spend some money and get more reinforcements as much as he's doing that already. I think it just basically hits home a lot of the points that we all sort of knew, but we needed this kind of result to really
have
it home.
Experienced them. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually haven't experienced them. And I think that's really key for us. I think it's a big learning. And as we've touched on, I thought the second half were brilliant. And the subs that came on were fantastic. It was just one of those weird days.
And then the last one for me is obviously Villa lost, which is great because
me
personally, maybe it's just because I'm back of a bad result, but I don't know if we qualify for Europa League. I think we will get the Conference League spot.
Really?
Which is probably another good question as well, actually. So where do we think we'll finish? Yeah, I have it. Funny enough, I have it Liverpool fourth now, because obviously they're flying, Man United are falling. So yeah, Liverpool fourth, United fifth, Tottenham sixth, Brighton seventh. Ryan, what's yours?
No, I think we could finish with Spurs. It just depends on how much they cheat. It really does.
He had to get it in there.
It's true, mate. It's true. Like Everton, it drives you mad. Aston Villa, Fulham. That's what I'm saying. These players need to take some accountability, mate. Brentford.
What? I just suddenly thought.
There's
very quickly,
so many teams.
While you talk about teams cheating, right? I think I was about the only person left in the ground at this point. But there was.
I was
the
there
most
too.
Blatant
Don't worry,
penalty.
Jack. I stayed till the end as well.
Yeah, you stayed. I saw the most blatant penalty I've ever seen in my life on about the 90th
minute.
I think
I know what you mean.
It meant nothing to the game, so it doesn't really matter. But how
Pickford
the hell
shoved him,
check?
Didn't he?
Pickford just smacked McAllister in the face while walking backward and the ball was in play. And it was just like, why is that not even being checked? Not that it matters, because it was like it was in added time just before they scored the fifth. And I was just like, what? What the hell was that all about?
Yeah.
But
I went numb after, four. I sort of accepted defeat, you know, not defeat, but I accepted that it was a rough one after four.
Yeah.
I think once we got 4-1, it was the first goal that I've ever watched live and I've never reacted to. I think that I was so done.
It looked
and
a bit weird.
Alexis scored.
It sort of dribbled
and
it
took me a minute to realise that we had scored. Like, everyone got up and celebrated. I was like, oh my God, we've actually scored. I couldn't believe we had actually scored. Yeah. And then obviously we didn't even stand up proper. I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Anyway. Now we've got to get three more in the space of about 5 minutes. But I don't know, it was weird because I think, it was one of them, Jack, where, look, I know that Maz said it and I didn't realise that you left early, Maz. So it's actually ruined my rant that I had before the podcast. But I think that, it's one of those where the people that stuck about in that, and I was going to say this regardless of what Maz said, it's testament not only to the fans, but also... it makes you appreciate how far that not only that we've come, but the people that can see it. Because this is one thing that I think is prevalent, is that people don't see it. They just see what's in the moment. And I think that really is what got me yesterday, as to how that East Stand cleared, not only after the fourth, but after the halftime whistle. I mean, so many people didn't even come back out. And it really was poor. Yeah. It's really poor. Yeah, seriously. It was poor. That East Stand was really embarrassing. And second half, it was just as bad.
I don't mind people leaving on, like, you know, like when Maz left, when the fourth goes in, what, like 80 minutes? Like, you know, I get that, especially if you need to get home. But some people just are just sort of giving up at half time, you know. And fair enough, we are 3-0 down. And I don't think off the top of my head I can remember a free goal comeback from Brighton. I mean, that is
under Zerbi, anything's possible, mate.
Yeah. Under De Zerbi, anything's possible.
That's a good
and in
question.
This Premier League season, anything's possible as well. But it happens. And I think I've only ever left one Brighton game early, if anybody wondered, which was Blackburn away when we were 3-1 up and I had to get last train to Huddersfield. And as soon as I left the ground, Blackburn scored a second to make it 3-2. So since that day, I've never left early. Happen. That will happen.
Do you know what my reasoning was? When I was younger, we always never left early, ever. And I've still to this day never left early from a game, ever, once, not once. And the only time that... because I've been to, I mean, not as much as you, Jack, but in my time of going to Brighton games, I've been home and away pretty much since I was born. But no, since I was probably about, I don't know, 10 or whatever. So the point of the matter is, Will Buckley was the reason I never left early. Not the reason, but proof as to why you shouldn't, was because he was the first one that I knew of that started scoring these dramatic last minute goals pretty much with every goal that he scored. I think it's 75% of the goals he got in his career at Brighton came in the last 6 minutes of the game, I think, or something like that.
What?
And I think that's just insane. Jesus. And from that's that alone, insane. I was like, yeah. And from that alone, I was like, I can't leave these games, because how do I know that's not going to happen? And by some miracle, against Arsenal, against Everton yesterday, those are five-all results. And, you know, I think that we were on track to do both of them, had it not been for, one, a good goalkeeper, and two, a dodgy VAR decision on Matoma. So I guess we'll never know, but that's just what I think anyway.
Right, I'm going to wrap up because Well, I need to have dinner, and also City versus Real Madrid.
Don't have it too spicy, though, like me.
No, I definitely won't. I will be heavy breathing all evening.
Have a heat of curry, mate.
I do want to get your European predictions, boys, before we go. Maz, I'll start with you. So I said Liverpool 4th, Man United 5th, Tottenham 6th, Brighton 7th.
I think Liverpool will get 4th. I think Man United will finish 5th. I think we'll finish 6th, and Spurs 7th, and Villa 8th.
Yeah, Jack?
So I'm going to go, I think Man United are still going to finish 4th. They got games in hand as well, on Liverpool. I think they've got one game in hand on them. So, that's probably winnable.
I can confirm that is correct. One game in hand.
Yes, that is correct. Then I go 5th Liverpool. I think Liverpool aren't catchable now. I think I think we're going to get Europa Conference League, but it's going to be between us and Villa. So whatever happens, happen, because life is a roller coaster, isn't it? So,
oh, don't do that, exactly, please, for God's sake. Not between us and Villa. I can't deal with it.
I know.
I can't deal
Ryan,
with it.
Ryan,
I think
on.
That's what it's
going to
be.
I'm not
and
going all the way to Villa Park for that. Ugh.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to Villa
Brighton
Park.
Way, isn't it? It is
the
Brighton way, isn't it?
It's a repeat of the final day of the championship. You know, that's
I dyed my hair blue that day. That was the most embarrassing day of my life. And then what did I bleach my hair like
I can just believe that as well.
I bleached my hair a week before, and it said on the side of the can, do not use unbleached hair as it will stain your hair. So I put it on the bleached hair.
And that's
hair.
Why he became and ginger.
And I couldn't get it out for like
the origin story.
Two or three weeks. I couldn't get blue out of my hair. I had to sit all my uni exams with a hat on. It was awful. That's probably why I've got no hair now.
I was about to say, if anyone wondered Jack's origin story of why he's the man he is today, that is the story. There you go.
The bleach got in the bloodstream, you see, and then it turned me insane.
Easily done.
That's why you bleed blue, Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, Maz. Ryan, go on, finish yourself with your predictions of Europe.
Yeah, United will finish top... Liverpool finished top four. United fifth. I just think United aren't that good. I just don't. I think that, you know, we've done a double over them, great and all that, but I just don't think they're that great. I think that Liverpool have been on too much form recently, and I don't think they'll drop off before the end of this month. Them fourth, United fifth, and us sixth, Tottenham seventh, provided Harry Kane doesn't whistle in the ref's ear again, because it's, yeah. But I think we are better than Spurs. I think yesterday is a real one-off. And I hope for the sake of the club that it doesn't matter. But I think also we are... Is it two wins to get European football? Like not all but guaranteed. I'm saying all but guaranteed. I'm not saying mathematically. But all but guaranteed. Is it two wins? Is it 6 points? I don't know if I'm right in saying that.
Six
I'm putting
points.
That as a bit of an open question.
Well, it's 6 points.
6 points.
If Villa drop points... And it all gets very complicated
if
because they're playing Spurs and Liverpool. Yeah.
I think Naylor said we needed nine, didn't he?
Yeah.
We needed nine, but if Villa drop any points.
But he said maximum, though, which I didn't really get.
Yeah, so that would be, I guess, if Villa win all the remaining games.
Because obviously, if other, it's dependent on what's around. Okay, so say we need maximum nine, then 6 points out of, you know, Southampton, I could see us doing Arsenal because we always seem to do it when we go to the Emirates. You know, City is probably a loss, unfortunately. And Villa, I'd expect us, not expect us, but I'd feel that we would lose that game if it came down to it. So I'd say our points come from Arsenal and Southampton. And maybe a point against...
Right, this is the longest
one. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to do. No, wait. Sorry, what was the actual prediction?
Jack was not enough then.
Well, I think Ryan's disappeared into the never now.
Yeah, the ether. Yeah, where?
Yeah, his face is disappeared.
I only heard like half of you, and then I've come back. I think I've got a really big delay on my side.
What was your prediction, Ryan? What was your prediction?
I said us sixth. And Tottenham 7, because they're better than Tottenham. Yeah, that's what I said.
Nice. All right, I'm a wrap up. Thank you for listening. That was a freak show. That was a shit show at the Amex. I hope it's been a good show on the podcast. I think it has. Thank you, Jack, for coming on very last minute, of course. Thank you, Maz. Thank you, Ryan. If you are still listening, please comment below.
Sort your mic out, Jack.
Yes.
Yeah,
Jack. I know. That's going to take some editing from me.
How honestly, about it's like having wind sails. You know, like when you're out and about.
I don't know what this is, my voice. Or,
the wind crashes against your earphones.
Yeah, I think it's the mic. Maybe we just need to.
Jack, I want to ask one more question before we come off.
I'll edit it out. Oh, no, we don't have time for that, mate. We've got to go to bed.
No, what's the one question? Go on, Ryan. I want to hear it.
I just want to know why he's got a Schalke shirt on.
Oh, because I've got loads of... I've got 300 football shirts.
What he does.
So I just wear them like every day for work, and I just pick out like the nearest one. So I've just got a Schalke one on today, but it could be fair. Any team. There's 115 Brighton ones fair. In there.
Ryan, basically after the 5-1 defeat, he's disowned Brighton and he's gone
yeah,
to the
and
other
I've become
team.
A Schalke. I've become Jack Schalke Stevenson.
Fair. I just wanted to know the reason, really. But yeah, anyway, now you can wrap up. Yeah. I don't mind.
No, I've got the whole Bundesliga. I've got the whole Bundesliga shirts.
Oh, right.
Everyone, that. Comment below, Jack. Yes. Stop breathing.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah. Jesus.
To be fair, after the last...
Don't do that.
After the last
no,
week,
don't do that. Don't do that.
We're going to get
after
blocked.
After the last few weeks,
blocked.
There's probably a few Twitter accounts that want me to stop breathing at this point. The amount of people I've told to fuck off and shut the fuck up.
Join the club, mate. Join the club.
Okay, actually, I've got it. I've got the comment below. Everyone just comment woo, like Ric Flair go woo. Everyone comment woo.
Come on.
Thank you, subscribe, comment, and goodbye.
Woo.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.